This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart, and this is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join our guests for the day, Oanda Senior Market Analyst Kenny Fisher and in the United States, Trader Nick. Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Nice to be here, Johnny.
Hi, Johnny. Good to be back.
Let's start the conversation with this side of the Atlantic opening up things for a change. Nick, I'm going to ask you first. This UK CPI number, inflation hitting the Bank of England's target for the first time in almost 3 years, hitting 2% in the year to May. That is down from 2.3% in April. So good news for the Prime Minister, that target being hit. How have markets reacted to that? And I'm also going to ask both of you a bit later on how this may or may not affect the Bank of England's rate announcement tomorrow. But Nick, how are markets responding?
Well, you led with a good prompt there, Johnny, because when we take a look at the 2% inflation target that the Fed has, we talk about that all the time. Well, it's also the same thing for the Bank of England and a lot of Western central banks kind of target that 2%, that proud number of 2% inflation. It's not too hot. It's not too cold. You want some inflation, but you don't want too much. And 2% is, as you mentioned, their target. So I think that it's only appropriate that the Bank of England is likely to begin their process of rate cuts, which makes a lot of sense. Again, inflation has come down huge from a year ago today. A year ago today, the inflation rate in the UK was much higher than it was in the US at the same time. We've seen a huge come down in inflation from the UK and from Europe. Notably, the U.S. had a big drop off in inflation when speaking, as a currency trader might look at this from a perspective of what does the U.S. versus the U.K. look like. Well, the inflation rate has really reeled in the U.K., whereas in the U.S., we still kind of see this sticky, stubborn, higher than 3% inflation that doesn't seem to want to make that last move lower. The U.K., conversely, has made that last leg lower. The question is, did that last leg lower come at the cost of the economy kind of giving way a little bit in the UK, right? Retail sales numbers have not been particularly impressive. So I think that at some point, yes, the Bank of England will likely close in on a rate cut. And as you mentioned, we have a decision coming up very soon. We'll see if they do make that final push to begin the rate cut process, as we've seen started in the European region, right? The ECB has cut rates. Now the Bank of Canada has cut rates. So we're seeing this trend. And I think the question of whether or not they cut is pretty clear. They're likely to cut. The question is, from a currency trading perspective, what about the other central banks, right? And what about specifically that U.S. Federal Reserve, who has remained a little bit cautious to admit their plan to cut rates? They've been hesitant. They've been waiting on the data to show improvement. Whereas, again, you compare it to the U.K., they've seen improvement in the inflation department. They're seeing signs of a slowing economy. And as you mentioned, Johnny, it doesn't hurt that there's an election phase. I know that, bankers like to, clearly state that doesn't make any impact on their decision, but we're only human after all, and so are the people that are voting on these decisions.
But I would imagine very few people are predicting that the Bank of England will cut tomorrow. And in fact, you mentioned the likelihood of it, Nick. I mean, politically, it would seem an advantage to the Prime Minister, Rishi Sunak, which may make them even less likely to go ahead with a cut. Most people are predicting August is going to be the month when they cut rates. Kenny, would you agree?
Yes, that's correct, Johnny. Just to pick up from what you and Nick were discussing about the 2% inflation reading, which is certainly good news. But there is a big but, which is services inflation. Inflation in the services sector is still much higher than that. It came in at 5.9% in April. It did fall to 5.7% in May, but that was actually above expectations of 5.5%. And these kinds of numbers are just way too hot for the Bank of England, which needs to see inflation across the board much closer to the 2% target. So that's one reason I don't think we'll see a rate cut tomorrow. The other thing is what you both mentioned about politics. There's an election on July 4th coming up in the UK, and the Bank of England doesn't want to be seen in any way as meddling or making major decisions during that time. So not only are they staying away from rate moves, but we're not even hearing any public statements from Bank of England members during the election campaign, which is leading the markets in a bit of uncertainty about the Bank of England's rate plans. So August sounds like a good bet, but we're not really going to hear too much, at least from the bank itself, until after the election.
And there are many people who are saying that actually inflation is going to go up again. The latest oil numbers that we've seen in the last couple of weeks, they've gone right up, and they will not help inflation numbers.
No, they won't. And, you know, there's the two sides of inflation, right? You have the demand side, and you have the supply side. When you have the demand side is the one that, you know, a lot of times central bankers prefer to be able to control, right? They prefer to be able to control labor data and interest rates and watch that stuff. But then you have external forces, as you mentioned, like oil, right? So oil is a supply side potential inflation catalyst, because if the price of oil suddenly rises, that's outside of the control specifically of the Federal Reserve or other central banks who are fighting inflation at the same time. So when you get this rise in the price of oil, it trickles into everything else, right? Energy costs go into transportation, and finally the final products, prices of goods and services. And so a rising price of oil is always worth watching, especially when there is an ongoing fight against inflation, which could be a frustrating unwind of some of the process, the progress. Now, it's a little bit early to tell. Yes, you've had a spike in the oil price. We've traded down to 72, you know, $73 a barrel. That's West Texas oil. So now trading at 81 is a substantial gain on the price of oil. And if that continues to rise, then yes, it will probably flag some concerns about supply side inflation, which again is maybe the wild card as we enter closer into this election cycle that could throw things off. The inflation story, again, it's not something that they can very easily control with interest rates, is the effects that rising oil prices could have on the story.
Just add that energy prices had been going down, which had been helping inflation levels in Europe, in the UK, even in the US. So if prices are rebounding, that certainly could fuel inflation and complicate things for the Fed, as well as Joe Biden's reelection campaign. It'll be interesting to keep following oil and see what happens, especially in the summer months when demand is pretty high for US motorists, for example.
Let's switch continents and talk about China, specifically with the China loan prime rate.
So the China loan prime rate, also known as LPR, the one-year loan is the rate that commercial banks lend funds to households and businesses. So that's something that we tend to keep a look on as far as analysts. And China Central Bank has held that rate at 3.45% for 9 straight times. And they're meeting tomorrow and expected to hold the rate again for a 10th time. Now, why is the loan prime rate important for currency traders, for example? The reason is that low interest rates mean more growth for China's economy. Just like anytime you have lower interest rates, people are able to take out loans and spend that money. If the rates stay low or go even lower, there's more demand, there's more ability for Chinese businesses to buy exports from other countries. And in the case of Australia and New Zealand, China is their number one trading partner. So they're very sensitive in the currencies, the Australian dollar and the New Zealand dollar, very sensitive to developments in China. So if the loan rate stays low or even goes lower, that's certainly good news for Australian exports, New Zealand exports, and that can help boost up the currency if exports are higher. So we expect to see the loan rate, the prime loan rate for 1 year stay the same. And we'll have to see what China does as they try to prop up their economy after what's been a rather disappointing recovery from the COVID crisis.
Now, in the last 24 hours or so, we've seen NVIDIA become the world's most valuable company, surpassing Microsoft. Guys, that didn't take very long, did it?
It didn't take long at all. It's been the leader of the AI kind of revolution and all the hype and excitement surrounding the latest developments and all this artificial intelligence stuff. And they're the lead receiver of all this excitement, if you think about it, because all these companies that want to incorporate some sort of AI, whether it be chatbots or whatever it is, right? They all need semiconductors. It is really, I like to use the comparison of a gold rush where everybody who wants to go chasing gold needs a pickaxe, and NVIDIA is the pickaxe salesman when it comes to the semiconductor world and this AI thing. Now, the question is, the bigger debate and where things will go from here is whether or not there is enough gold to justify all this pickaxe buying. That's the big question that I think markets will face going forward. Now, as you mentioned, they took the number one spot as the most valuable company in the U.S. stock exchange and outpacing now Apple, Microsoft, Qualcomm. It's really, and many other big names that have huge market caps that have been kind of dethroned by this NVIDIA rally. To me, it is something to of course cheer the excitement of technology improvements and things like that. But you also just have to be careful when it comes to things getting so hyped up. When you look at a stock like this, which has had just a parabolic rally, certainly not something to jump in front of, in my opinion. But still something that to be at least cautious about the excitement. It's similar. It feels similar to like the Bitcoin rally, but. One thing I would say that is a little bit more impressive about NVIDIA is it's an actual company that makes money, it generates something, it creates something. So you can see where the hype is. But again, also just some concerns about how much hype there really is right now for NVIDIA and also the stock market itself.
So we've got the Bank of England with its rate announcement tomorrow, Kenny. But we'd be rather remiss if we didn't mention the Swiss National Bank also set to make an announcement one way or the other. Are we going to see a cut there?
Well, Donny, that's a very good question. I think unlike the Bank of England, where it's quite sure that they will not change rates tomorrow, it's really a toss-up with the Swiss National Bank. Probably will be overshadowed by the BOE decision. Now, the Swiss National Bank only meets four times a year, unlike the other major banks that meet between 8 and 10 times a year. Back in March, the SNB did make the news because they were the first major bank to cut interest rates in this financial period. And they lowered them by a quarter of a point from 1.75% to 1.5%. Now, these rates sound very, very low, much lower than the Bank of England or the Fed that have current rates around 5.25%. But keeping in mind that inflation is very low in Switzerland compared to other countries, in May, inflation was only 1.4%. Which is obviously very low compared to the UK or to the States. Now, the Swiss National Bank's target for inflation is about 0 to 2%. And the Swiss National Bank actually gets very nervous when inflation gets close to 2%. But right now, inflation is being between 1 and 2%. So it's at a pretty good level. It's really a toss-up as far as economists are concerned. Will they lower rates tomorrow? Will they hold rates? The markets are looking at about a 60% chance of a cut, which is lower than a few weeks ago. It was 80%. And what's interesting is you can make a strong argument for both scenarios. The reason to hold rates is because inflation, as we mentioned, is well within the target band. Swiss growth has been steady. So there's really no reason to rock the boat and just maintain rates at 1.5%. On the other hand, the support for a cut tomorrow, which is because the Swiss franc has been gaining a lot of ground. In the last 3 weeks, it's up 3.3%, and Swiss exports have fallen, and the Swiss National Bank is not hesitant to intervene in markets or use interest rates in order to help Swiss exports, because the economy is very dependent on the export sector. And a rate cut would, as far as the Swiss National Bank is concerned, lower the Swiss franc, or at least stem the increase we're seeing. And that would help Swiss exports. So you're killing two birds with one stone. And that would be the case to lower rates. But again, the Swiss National Bank is pretty cautious. And I have a gut feeling they might just maintain rates. But as we saw in March, they are willing to surprise the markets when they want to.
Very interesting, Kelly. Thank you for that view. And thanks to you as well, Trader Nick. We will speak to both of you in the next few days. Enjoy the rest of the week.
Thanks very much, Johnny.
Thanks, Johnny.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.